Hello,
And thank you for watching this video. I'm Alexander Halbach, and I will talk about Sparse Lizard, a general purpose multiphysics finite element C++ library. So I had the pleasure to attend the last two FOSDEM conferences, and this year again, I'm very grateful to be able to attend. And well, I will talk about the massive developments that have been added to this open source library in 2021. But before starting, I would like to acknowledge the funding provided by Academy of Finland and Tampere University on one side, and the cloud computing company that I co-founded last year, that is QuantScient, which will provide multiphysics high-performance cloud computing solution. And on this aspect, in the finite element software landscape, it's not so common for software companies to be open source friendly, but at QuantScient, we believe that there's a lot of win-win situations, and we really believe in a possible synergy with the open source community. So don't hesitate to support us if you're an open source guy like me. So let's start with what is finite element simulations, maybe. So if you want to be able to predict the behavior of objects and devices around you, for example, how an electromagnetic antenna will radiate, or how much a beam will deflect under a given load, or how much drag your car will have when it's driving at 200 kilometers per hour, then you can use numerical method to simulate this behavior and get results on the computer in the digital world. So Sparse Lizard is a finite element method library, so it's solving this kind of numerical simulations, and it's very natively designed to be highly multiphysics. As we will see, it has a large demonstrated set of capabilities. There's support for advanced finite element tools, we'll see that too, and it's concise and user-friendly. We'll see that with a real example. And it's concise to the point that a couple of universities are actually considering already using Sparse Lizard for teaching finite elements. And it is a low-bug software, because a lot of time is spent on debugging and validation. It's clearly documented, and it's efficient both in terms of multi-threading, as well as we will see on distributing high performance computing on supercomputers or on the cloud. And it's very rapidly expanding. So it's just 5 years old, and it's written from scratch. So let's start with the capabilities in terms of multiphysicness. So that's just one of the two slides. There are many more examples than these ones. There are about 60 validated examples on GitHub. And as you can see, you can do fluid simulation, magnetics, electricity, mechanics, rotating machines, acoustics, thermal simulations, and there's an example, that blue box that you can always click, and you will see exactly the entire code that you need to run to do this simulation. And this code is extremely concise, and this is the reason why we actually dare to provide this see example button, because we have nothing to hide in terms of code readability. So another set of capabilities, and then in terms of types of analysis, you can do anything you want. So transient harmonic simulation, eigenmode simulation, and also that's quite unique to Sparse Lizard, harmonic balance simulation, so non-linear frequency analysis. And there are lots of predefined physics to help you work with a well, easily set up your problem. So it also supports a set of advanced finite element tools. So here are a reduced list of what is supported, features that you might be interested in. So we have harmonic balance, as I just mentioned. So solving nonlinear harmonic analysis problems without doing a transient analysis. There is a fast 3D unstructured mesh-to-mesh interpolation, so you can have different physics on different meshes. And tune the mesh for every physics. General 3D mortar finite element simulation. This is the kind of thing that you might want to use for or electric motor simulation, where you have the rotor and the stator that slide on each, slide at the interface. And so you can have a non-matching mesh there. There is an example for that. Last year, I presented at FOSDEM this HP adaptivity. So it's adaptive mesh refinement, full 3D automatic adaptive mesh refinement. There was a video for that even with refinement and coarsening. But this is not it. It's on top of that, there's also interpolation order adaptivity. So it's actually a full HP adaptive finite element software. And also this year, distributed computing on high performance computing architectures using advanced domain decomposition methods. We'll see that a little bit later. Otherwise, you have everything you can expect for post-processing. You can do PROS, max, average, integrals. So pretty much everything, the whole set of tools that you need for post-processing. And then in terms of output format, ParaView is extremely good at visualizing scientific data. So we provide ParaView output format, for example. In terms of loading the mesh files, GMesh is probably the best open source mesher. And we support GMesh through the GMesh format or also through the direct link with the GMesh API, but also support other file formats. So I mentioned that it's concise and user-friendly, but let's not just trust what I say. Let's have a look at it. So if we think of a working 3D electrostatic example, so you have it C++, so you just create a main.cpp file, and then you write your five lines, you include sparse desert, you create the main, you put the two brackets around, and then you put this code, and it's just gonna run. So for this electrostatic simulation, basically it fits in 9 lines of code, and they're extremely readable. So you don't even need advanced knowledge of C++ to use sparse desert, and you don't need hacks to do what you want, even quite advanced things. And like a very important thing that might be sometimes underestimated is documentation. So every function that you will want to use is in the documentation with a long enough sentence to make it rather clear for you what it's doing, and also a working example to give it a try. Now, what's new compared to FOSDEM 2021 last year? So a massive amount of capabilities has been added, really a massive amount of capabilities. And also in terms of interest, a massive amount of new universities and companies have showed interest last year. It really seems to me like we're in the beginning of a hopefully exponential rise of the user base of Sparse Lizard. And so what's been added? High performance domain decomposition framework with fully automatic partitioning without overlap and with overlap. Also, and this is the picture on the top right. So this is, if I remember correctly, this is a 50 million unknown 3D acoustic simulation. And basically you can It was run on the supercomputer, and it was running in a few tens of minutes, probably with the version at that time. It was pretty maybe more, well, around an hour. Now at QuantSign will provide extremely efficient preconditioners to make it run extremely fast, and this is already pretty much working. But this is the state of the open source version. You can run it with DDM already. Now, adaptive mesh refinement, you want to be able to couple it to DDM, you can do it. So this is the second picture. So you have different pieces of your mesh split into domains. That's the DDM method. You just split your mesh into pieces, and then they're run independently on different computing nodes, and then they exchange data to converge to the overall solution. But if you want to do adaptive mesh refinement, you have to make sure that the mesh is conformal at the interface between, because that's what's done in Sparse Lizard, is conformal adaptive mesh refinement. And this is fully automatic. So all the data is exchanged between the computing computing nodes to make sure that the mesh always matches at the interface, whatever you do. This is fully automatic. And then if we're talking about now what's been added with respect to collaboration with KiCad, so a full month of work was dedicated to features that KiCad needs. And this is lumped finite element quantities and electric circuit to finite element coupling. So for example, you want to compute as accurately as possible capacitance between two tracks in KiCad or something like that. This is now possible. There is an example online. It's optimal from an accuracy point of view, and it's very easy to use. And actually, it's in progress to be integrated into KiCad, but I guess someone else will talk better about that part than me. Syntax is even more optimized, and it's basically converged now, so I don't immediately expect to have any further changes in the syntax. So in terms of backwards compatibility, that's pretty good. And tons of other useful functions have been added. Also, new physics examples have been added, and also like advanced nonlinear mechanic models for plasticity, the Chabot model, are in progress of being added. Bilinear model has already been demonstrated in SparseLizard last year. And then a big new thing, and for that I want to thank the open source community, is SpyLizard now exists. It's the Python ABI to SparseLizard. The syntax is extremely similar, to the point that it took me about 2 minutes or 3 minutes to convert a C++ example of SparseLizard to a Python example. And there's also some effort, again, with the open source community on making Docker Lizard, a Docker container for SparseLizard. Now, I would like to thank again the funding that made it possible. So again, Academy of Finland and Tampere University, as well as Quant Science, for supporting and making this work possible. So thanks for your attention, and hope to see you on GitHub very soon.
Development stories in the past couple of years, because SparseLizard really seems to have come out of nowhere and is quite fully featured at this point. Are you working on this with a larger team, or is this really just you and your company now?
Well, nice to see you, Thess, anyway, and thanks for, I appreciate being here. There's a team of one for the last 5 years, and it indeed started out of nowhere. Well, like a lot of PhDs end up writing code, and then some end up being used and some end up not being used. The difference was I had maybe a lot of tenacity, and I had to spend a lot of evenings after work unpaid for some time. And then the last 2 years in Tampere University, I had the chance to work pretty much full time on it. So then it started to actually be easier to manage. But it's a one person team. But of course, I want to thank all the people who like more and more start to provide open source contribution. Like, for example, the CMake was added by an open source user last year. And then the Python API was really kickstarted by Mr. Benson. And also, I would like to thank all the people who I could rely on technically, like my former PhD supervisor, which is a major, well, it's of major importance, of course, because like it saves time. And yeah, that's if that answers the question.
Absolutely. And you have now started a company. Is that correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
And you're hiring, as I understand.
We are. So I think there's nothing confidential there. So it's called Quant Science. It was started in September. It's going to provide high performance cloud computing from the browser and for general multiphysics purposes. And well, yeah, we're hiring. We actually found already at least three
persons that we have signed the contract with on the finite element side, more on the cloud. So a lot of help on that side. But in any case, we are committed to maintaining and developing further Sparse Lizard. Obviously, not everything will end up open source, especially what customers could just take for free out, like the high-performance computing part. But this should not immediately affect, for example, projects like KiCad. So no worries on that side.
So how do you balance your development of commercial projects or commercial sides of Sparse Lizard with the open source core that you've been building for the past 5 years?
The general idea is that there are things that the open source version doesn't immediately need, like these high performance domain decomposition algorithm. There's a part open source, but like if it's going to converge faster, that you can really get the extreme high performance that very large projects require. This is not immediately beneficial for 100% or 99.9% of the open source users. So in that aspect, this is how its panels is like.
That makes sense. When people look at Sparse Lizard and they say, oh, well, this is a great project, I wish it did this feature, where should they go to help with that process, to help contribute, or to maybe to see your build, what your roadmap looks like?
Well, there has never really been an official roadmap. Things just were added based on the research I was doing. If people want to see a feature, which is the case for now, then like two ways are working right now. It's applying for grants for funding, or commercial companies paying for it, and then it can be released open source as well. So there will be projects on that. And then if it's fully in the open source range, then, we welcome contributions. Of course, like then to make it simpler from a legal point of view, the copyrights will have to be dealt with properly. That's the only downside. But otherwise, any contribution is welcome. But otherwise, like if someone asks like a quick feature, I might just be willing to add it immediately. But basically, in the last 5 years, anyone who would have asked me anything of general interest, I would have just immediately added. And this basically, to come down to KiCad, the feature was going to be needed, but the fact that KiCad also needed this way to compute accurately capacitance and couple the finite element part of the lump models, this basically I could reschedule it to fit best.